What's up, players? This is Teddy Long, and I'm getting ready for another Gurick Report podcast. My main man, Frank D and Steve, holla holla, players.
You know it's the Mac Militant.
Coming to get it on. Feel the pain that I try to contain. My heart is black with the blood in my veins, and I'm coming to get it.
And yo, I break and smash and straight with bass. I can see the fear in your eyes every time that I pass. I'm intimidating the most and feared by many.
But don't trip me.
I leave the place empty. You get me? I'm low down, pity and shifty. I'm low down, people against me.
It is March the 10th. 2016 is episode 119 of the Gurick Report podcast. I am Steve Gurick of www.gerweck.net. I want to welcome you back to the latest edition of the GRP along with Teddy Long, which we'll get to momentarily. Real quickly, I want to mention, along with the GRP, we got a lot of great audio available at gerweck.net. Definitely check out the Pro Wrestling Nation with Sam Medina, who's got a special interview with former TNA star Petey Williams available. You can also check out the Breaking Raw podcast along with Atlee Green, breaking down what happened on Monday Night Raw. That's one of our newer shows you can check out at gerweck.net. And I also want to give a shout-out to The Rack Show with Lindsay Ward and Sir Rockin', all part of the gerweck.net family, along, of course, with The Raw Deal. Atlee Green joins my man right now, my longtime tag team partner, Frank D. What's going on, Frank D.?
Nothing much, Steve. It's great to be back here on GRP, especially with my main man, Teddy Long, here. And if you want to get the shirt, that's right, the official Gurick Report podcast t-shirt, all you got to do, head over right now to prowrestlingtees.com/Gurick. That's how you cop the shirt. Also, youtube.com/Gurick Report podcast. Like and subscribe our channel. We definitely appreciate that. Almost 700 subscribers on YouTube. Check it out right now. youtube.com/Gurick Report podcast.
And while I'm tagging people in, I'm going to tag in kind of my newer tag team partner, Kim, a good friend here of the Gurick Report podcast. He's a legend in the wrestling business and our friend here. He is a former manager, referee, SmackDown, an ECW general manager, a Gurick.net Hall of Famer, and someday we're going to keep pushing. He's going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame very soon. Our main man, Teddy Long. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys, man. Just great to be back on here with you, Steve, and my main man, Frank D. Appreciate you guys having me on as regular as you've been having me, and I'm just having a blast, and, you know, I love coming on and talking to you guys, and I do understand you've been getting a lot of great feedback, and that's great, man. Let's just keep on doing what we're doing, and we're going to keep it pushing.
Absolutely, and just, you know, speaking of the Hall of Fame, they just announced that WWE is going to open up a physical Hall of Fame. Something they've been talking about for a while in the Orlando area. You know, someday, Teddy, you'll have your plaque in your face on the walls of the physical Hall of Fame someday in Orlando, Florida. I don't know, what's your thoughts on WWE finally open up a physical Hall of Fame?
Well, that I think that's a good thing. I know this is something that they have been talking about. I mean, back before I left, and this has been quite a while, you know, they were looking at a building in Austin, Texas, where I thought they were going to do that, because I remember me and Mark Henry, we went to the place that they were looking at. I think Triple H went there one night, and Mark Henry, they went up and talked to the people, but they were looking, you know, to try to do that there. But like I said, I'm glad it's happening for them. I think it's a great thing, and, you know, the more the better. And like you said, I hopefully, you know, if I'm lucky enough, that I'll be a part of that too.
Someday we'll get you in there, Teddy. And you know, Frank, WWE, of course, had the WWF New York restaurant back in the day. Do you think a physical Hall of Fame along with a restaurant theme would be a good business venture for WWE?
They tried this in the past, like you said, with WWF New York, and then it became WWE The World after the name change. It could work. I mean, they get a lot of tourists in Orlando. It might work, Steve, honestly. They're going to make money on it, unlike, you know, TNA, who were at Universal Studios, and they couldn't charge admission to Impact. So WWE is taking it the smart route, and I think that it'll work. And I'm really interested in what they're going to put in this Hall of Fame. What's going to be there as far as, like, are they going to bring everything out? You're going to see some of the old stages and stuff like that from different pay-per-views, or some of the old banners are going to have championship belts on display. That's what I'm interested in.
You'll have meets and greets and autographs sessions as well. So I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, when the finished product. I guess they have to compete with what there's a Hall of Fame in Iowa. So I guess it was over. I think they're overdue, Frank. We've been talking about a physical Hall of Fame for a while, and I don't know. What do you think of the location of Orlando in TNA land down there?
Well, they're already in TNA land when they do, you know, NXT at Full Sail. So they've already taken that audience, and I believe that they're actually turning a profit when they do those NXT tapings. They're actually charging admission, like TNA couldn't do when they were doing Impact at, you know, Soundstage 22, I believe it was. So it's just going to be a win-win. But if I got to pick Iowa or Florida, I'm going to go with Florida, man. Even though I don't necessarily go with their laws and all that stuff, but I'm going to go with Florida.
And Teddy, I don't know if you've heard, since we've talked to you, there's a story going around that TNA is for sale. So I don't know if you get a group of investors of about 5 or 6 guys could pitch in $10 or $11, and you might be able to buy TNA.
Oh, well, if that's all they want, I don't need any help. I can just do it on my own. That's all they need. I hadn't heard that rumor about them being sold. I mean, I don't know, you know, in this business, you never know what's going to happen. You know, I do know that they lost a lot of money, you know, but I guess it's just poor management and people not knowing, you know, what to do and just paying guys a whole lot of money that's not worth it. So, like I said, I've seen it happen to a lot of promoters when they come into this thing and they ain't got a clue about what they're doing. There are a lot of wrestlers out there that know the game, and, brother, they'll get you.
Now Frank is going to cut a check for like $20, right, and you're going to own the TNA, the dead brand.
Steve, you saw it. You saw it on Facebook. I said I'll give them $20 worth of fuck money, as Virgil would say, to buy TNA, definitely. And all the listeners out there right now, the GRP, if we all came together, we could buy TNA, and we could rename it into something else, you know, and go from there. But I'm going to tell you like this, truthfully, honestly, when it comes to the dead brand TNA, I don't see them folding, Steve. Here's a company that really has 9 lives. And when people said this company was going to die, somehow, by the grace of God, they survived. So I don't really see it changing. I think that even though the numbers are down, the ratings are down for the show, it doesn't matter. They always find a way. And that's one thing I will give credit where credit's due to the dead brand. They always find a way.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, though, but eventually you run out of lives.
You do, but here's the thing. It's not like somebody saying, hey, you know what? We're Time Warner, and we're going to pull the plug on WCW. It's a different story here with TNA. Nobody's really going to pull the plug on it unless they decide themselves to pull the plug on the company. And now the fact that, you know, we've heard and we've seen reports that Panda Energy hasn't really had anything to do with the financial part of TNA for a while now. I mean, they could easily find some backers if they wanted to. I mean, like it or not, TNA has a very good roster of talent. So it's all about finding that money. And then there's some people out there that have said, you know, there's rappers like Wale and Rick Ross who said, oh, let's buy a wrestling company. They could be investors in TNA and do something, but the bottom line, I think, is that if somebody does come in and buy a TNA or invest in it, they got to change the name.
Yes, they do. Yeah, I agree with that 100%, because that name is like cancer.
Well, the thing would be is if you had some money and you wanted to get in the wrestling business, wouldn't it be better to start a new group? I know we've seen that happen with Global Force Wrestling, maybe. And it's funny, too, Frank, because I saw a interview with Jeff Jarrett saying, you know, Global Force Wrestling is not TNA. And people were commenting like, well, show me, because it sure looks like TNA. It smells like TNA. You got the same talent there. But I don't know, and we'll open up the floor here with Teddy as well. If you had some money and you were going to get into wrestling, would you invest in TNA? And you know where they are now, declining ratings. They really don't run any house shows. They're going to go back to Orlando to the same studio there and record a bunch of shows again. Would you rather invest in TNA, and it's an established brand, although be it basically a dead brand, or would you invest in a new company and try to get some big-time investors and take your craft to a big-time network and see if you get a television deal?
I would invest in a new company. I would that TNA, that name, that's dead. I wouldn't use that nowhere, no shape, form, any kind of way. I would invest in a new company, new programming, you know what I mean? Basically, you know, you're going to have to get some guys, you know, that people know. But that's what I'd do. I'd just start all over again, because there are a lot of guys out there that are out of work, you know what I mean, that have names that you can use. So, you know, give some of those guys an opportunity. The reason a lot of those guys didn't go to TNA is because TNA ain't paying no money. They got trouble with, you know, the guys that have worked there for years, you know, getting paid, you know, getting their own money. Look at Taz. He was there from the beginning of time, you know. Anytime this guy walks away, you know, it's got to be real bad. Mike Tenay is another one.
I would make a whole new company, but the talents that they have, I'd pick and choose who I wanted. I mean, definitely on the top of the list would be EC3 and Bobby Roode. We'll definitely take them.
Yeah,
and a couple other guys, you know, Mike Bennett and Maria Canales would take them.
James Storm.
James Storm would probably be another one that I would take. You have to pick and choose talents, and then you go around and get everybody else that you want to get. But bottom line is that you take it away from this TNA, just this dead brand TNA, this Impact brand, and it's just everything that people don't care about. And look how much of the TNA audience has disappeared. You know, the hardcore TNA fans that are no longer there watching the show. It's kind of the same thing with WCW, how those hardcore WCW fans, at the end of the day, they weren't watching anymore. So you have to take this, mold it into something else. And I'm sorry, but Global Force Wrestling, when I see your product, what I've seen of your product, it's TNA version 2. It's just green ropes. That's all it is.
And then let me say this too, and I was thinking deeply about this before I even, you know, thought about even saying this, but I'm going to go ahead and say this anyway. I'm not blowing my own horn, but at the time that I left WWE, after I was free with the 90 days where the no compete clause and everything, I talked to Dave Lagana down there, and I told him, I said, I wouldn't do it right now, man. I wouldn't bring me in right now. I said, but just wait. You know, I think it was during the time that MVP came in as general manager down there. And I talked to Dave Lagana, and I said, I may be wrong. I said, but you don't get it, do you? I said, you wouldn't think that if I came into TNA just as I left WWE, that been gone for a while, and I come in now to straighten TNA out, you know, to make this, a really top-notch company. I said, that's something we can sell to the people. Teddy Long comes into TNA to straighten it all out. I get rid of this MVP, this all this GM stuff, because me and him got history together, you know, back in the day, and start straightening things out and come in and let me, you know, like I'm finna break, making a brand new company. I said, you don't think that would work, right? Well, he told me that they didn't need anybody down there that could talk. They didn't need a talker. That was his answer.
That is the stupidest shit I've ever heard of.
Right, and I offered myself to him. You know what I mean? I'm like, man, I'm just saying, I can help you right now. Okay? Like I said, I still believe anywhere I go right now, I can be a big help to somebody. So, you know, I'm just saying, he told me they didn't need a talker.
Well, you got to watch what you say on here, Teddy, because we have those out there that listen that thinks that, you know, you're just trying to get a job back with WWE and you miss working for WWE. That's the reason why you come on here and you pretty much, you told the corporate line, Teddy, and you won't say anything bad against the company because you don't want to, you know, burn the bridge. You don't want to bury yourself.
Well,
so,
let me straighten this out right now.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Let me straighten this out right now. I'm enjoying the rest of my life. I've been involved in professional wrestling for over 30 years. I went to work for Vince McMahon, and I worked for him, and I started in 1998, and I worked there for 15 years. I had a great run. I mean a great run, okay? I am not angry at the WWE or nobody because I had success. I stayed in my position longer than there are some wrestlers were the world champion. Now, I have been home for at least, going on 3 years now. I'm having a great time. I am enjoying myself. I am well-rested. Listen, nobody will turn any money down. If the WWE calls me today and want me to come back to work, I will go back to work. That's a payday. That's a check. But if the WWE does not ever call me, that is not going to stop me from living. I have my life to live. It's life after wrestling. I already knew when I got in this, I would not be in this for the rest of my life. Everything changes. Winter changes to summer. Night changes to day. So I already knew one day that I was going to have to step away from this. So I've been prepared for this for all my life. So I'm happy. I don't care whether WWE never calls me. I don't care whether the WWE never calls me for the Hall of Fame. That doesn't bother me. That I've made it in this business. I've been successful. God has blessed me. I live my dream. So if the WWE never called me, I could care less. I'm enjoying my life. I'm having a great time. I'm doing a lot of independent shows. I'm working with a lot of young kids that want to try to make it. And I love being able to give my advice to these kids to try and give them, you know, some understanding about this business and show them how to make it. So I don't care what these people think. Ain't nobody Uncle Tom. It's always some Uncle Tom and shit involved. You know what I mean? Because you're saying something good about the company because I won't bury them. Why should I bury the WWE? They did nothing to me. I'm not mad at them, so why am I going to say something bad about them? You know, this is just stupid. So for all you people that are thinking, I want a job and I'm playing corporate, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. I'm enjoying what I'm doing now. I'm having a great time. And then I tell you what, if you're so concerned about me, then send me some money through TeddyLong.com and help me pay my bills, and then I will do it your way. But until you can pay my bills and feed my family, then the hell with you. That's the way I look at it.
This is the way to live because, yeah. I mean, you pick your schedule. You decide where you want to work. You talk to the promoters. You agree on a price. You can say, I know I need trans. I need all this. And if not, you know, I'll go somewhere else. And this is a great time. And you're in total control of where Teddy's going to be. And this is a great time to be in the situation. And it's kind of sad.
I got three grandkids here, and I love them to death. And I'm telling you, I don't know how much I miss them. They love me. I got one. He's 17 months old, and he gets every morning, he remembers to come in and wake me up and give me the biggest kiss in the world. Oh, now, wow. How can you, brothers, believe me, I'm loving every moment of what I'm doing.
Can you imagine Frank having Teddy Long as your grandpa? That would be something else.
it would be something. He'd have to definitely teach me how to make tag team matches on the regular.
I can definitely do that, player.
You know, going back to TNA, though, I mean, you call them, you offer your services, and they say, we don't need a talker.
Right. We don't need anybody that can talk right now. What kind of answer is that?
I guess that's why they're TNA, Frank. I mean, my gosh. That's asinine.
So you don't tell me I couldn't help you. People coming in think I'm going to come in now and take over TNA and straighten it out. How do you think I stayed for Ben for 15 years? Because they believed in me. I, you know what I mean, and what I did, and I did it. If I said something on TV, that's what I did. So I don't get it.
How many green guys they have that you could come in and manage and put them over?
Yeah, there's a lot of things I could do there. I could manage guys or BGM. It don't make no difference. A lot of things I could do. So you know that I'm just saying. You know, if you'd rather. You know, the company go down, then to hire this old guy, Teddy Long, then go right ahead. Y'all go ahead. That's y'all call.
Hey, Teddy, let me ask you this question. You managed Butch Reed and Ron Simmons as Doom in WCW. What was your initial impressions of both these guys when you started managing them? Because I know Butch Reed had just came over from the WWF. And did he say anything about how he was treated over in the WWF at the time?
Well, no, I always talked to Butch. You know, he was, wasn't angry with nobody over the WWF. I think Butch understood, you know, some opportunities that were presented to him, you know, Butch messed him up. So he did understand that, but he didn't ever say anything about he was treated wrong or anything. I think he was happy to, you know, to be in the position that we were in because he knew that we were going to get a push, you know, and stuff. So, yeah, he never had anything bad to say about the WWF.
They announced Big Boss Man. Is going in the WWE Hall of Fame. I just wondered if any memories or any stories of Ray Traylor.
Oh, yeah, man. Ray Traylor, the sweetheart of a guy. Geez, what a nice guy, man. Yeah, I met him back in the day when he first started. He was Jim Cornette's bodyguard. And that's when Ray first broke in. But I had a chance, when I went to work with Vince, I had a chance to work with him up there. And I rode with him in Viscera, you know, a couple of times, you know, on the road. I traveled with both of them. So Boss Man was just a sweet guy, you know. And, you know, we knew that he had the problem. And, you know, Boss Man, he was a guy that would listen, you know what I mean? But sometimes, you know, man, them demons, they just get you, you know, and they take control. And I've seen that happen to a lot of guys. And I think it's just, they just took control of him. But Boss Man was just a sweet guy, and what happened to him was very tragic, you know. But, you know, God has his own way. So, like I said, he's a certain, I'm really happy that they're doing that for him, because he certainly deserves it.
Yeah, Frank, thoughts on the Big Boss Man going in WWE Hall of Fame?
I think that it's long overdue for the Boss Man to be in the Hall of Fame. And hopefully, you know, one day we'll get Rick Rude in there too. I think that, you know, completing that generation is what needs to happen. And I was happy when I heard it. When I heard the old Hard Times song on Raw Monday night, that was like, that brought back a lot of memories from my childhood of watching Big Boss Man. And then, you know, looking back on his stuff in WCW before that, you know, when he was, you know, Big Bubba Rogers, the bodyguard for Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express. And then seeing him, you know, adapt that again in WCW later on after he was the Guardian Angel and he was the Boss. So I really think that, you know, looking at his career, I mean, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. He survived. He actually, when you think about it, when he left WCW, the WWF actually reinvented what you thought about the Big Boss Man. He came out, you know, he wasn't wearing the old blue shirt, black, you know, black pants. He came back wearing riot gear. So it really, you know, he was in the the fray there with Stone Cold Steve Austin and the Corporation. So I think it's well deserved, Steve. I really do, and I'm happy that he's going in there.
Yeah, I remember Teddy was talking about when he broke in with NWA. I remember Big Bubba Rogers. He was the bodyguard of Jim Cornette. I just wondered, Teddy, Jim Cornette is kind of a polarizing character as well. Do you ever have any trouble or heat with Jim Cornette over the years?
No, I didn't. I've always been able to get along with Jim Cornette. He's always been a nice guy. In fact, you know, me and him made a lot of money together. You know, he was a guy back when I was managing Butch Reed and Ron Simmons. Jim Cornette was the guy that gave me the name Peanut Head. He started calling me that. And, well, in fact, I told him, we were sitting out talking about stuff, and when I was a little kid growing up, that was my nickname, Peanut. And so Jim Cornette said, well, hey, we'll start using that. So he started calling me the Peanut Head, and that's where I got that heat from, for his Peanut Head. But I never had any trouble with Jimmy. I've been on a couple of meet and greets with him, autograph signings, and he's always been nice to me.
Yeah, Frank, you mentioned Rick Rude. How can Rick Rude not be in the Hall of Fame already? That's
guy that I was real tight with.
I don't know. You were there. Was there any talk that they were still mad at what happened with the Monday Night War series? Or, I mean, what would be the criteria of, you know, leaving him out? Was there heat that we don't know about? Or what's the deal with Rick Rude?
Well, I don't even know what happened with that situation back then. I know that he was on one TV one night, and then the same night on two TVs. So, that was a big mess. I mean, what a mess that was. So, I don't know. But like I said, I'm with you guys. I'm certainly hoping that they'll do that for Rick Rude. I was real good friends with him too, man. I rode with him a lot. He was a real nice guy too, man.
Yeah, one of the, I think, very underrated superstars in this business, and probably one of the best heels I can remember back in that era as well.
Yeah,
like getting heat, you know, come in and take off his robe and put down the ladies for being overweight. I mean, that was a great, great shtick he had back in the day.
Yeah, and you know, they tried to do that with Val Venus, but I think they went the wrong way with it.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on Val Venus, going back to the Attitude Era there?
I loved him, man. He was a great guy. I thought that was the greatest gimmick in the world, that Val Venus. I loved every moment of that, man. But, you know, like I said, Val was a good guy, too. So I don't know what happened there. You know, I think, you know, he started kind of failing the drug tests and stuff. And so maybe they kind of got a little mad at him about that. I don't know what he was even doing the drug tests at that particular time. But anyway, Val just, he was a great guy. He didn't like to pay his taxes. He was kind of a radical.
Libertarian.
Yeah, he moved from the U.S. to Canada one time, so he didn't have to pay taxes, and then they finally caught up with him, so I think he ended up having to pay about $200,000, something in tax money.
Captain Cannabis.
Yes.
That's his nickname on Twitter.
I've seen something on Twitter where he was endorsing marijuana. He had some cannabis factory or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but it was something on Twitter where he was endorsing cannabis or something he was doing.
Yeah, he's big into that. He's a big proponent of marijuana. So
Yeah, I know him.
You know, we had a question here from Twitter. It's actually Carl. He wanted to know, who would you hang out with back in the Attitude Era when you were a referee? Who did you hang out with mostly backstage at that time?
Well, I was with basically Kevin Sullivan. He was a great guy. I learned a lot from him. He was one of the guys that helped break me in. Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert. Also was a lot with Tommy Young. He was one of the other referees that had been there for a long time. Let's see, Rocky King. If you guys remember him, Pistol Pez
yep.
Watley. Those guys. Yeah. Him and you know just that was about it.
Yeah, at 6:05 when back in the day, Teddy, that was 6:05 on Saturday. That was wrestling time.
Yeah, WCW Saturday night.
Absolutely. So I was always upset if the fishing show went long or if the Atlanta Braves on because I wanted to watch my wrestling at 6:05.
Right. Well, I just put some stuff on my Twitter that from the Georgia Championship Wrestling days with Gordon and all of it, man. It's just fantastic, man. So I got it on my Twitter right now. Just some of the stuff with the. With Bud Sawyer and Ted DiBiase and all those guys back in the day, it's a Buddy Landale. It's really good.
Let me ask you real quickly. As we're talking about the Attitude Era, obviously they pushed the envelope of sexuality and vulgar language, and I mean they really pushed the envelope as far as they could. Did you ever feel like because you were associated with that maybe at any point they went a little too far? This angle was a little too far. They did the Mark Henry thing and. I don't know. Did you ever feel uncomfortable maybe being associated with some of the things they were doing during that time period?
Well, no, I didn't. I would look at some things, you know what I mean? But I always had this understanding, you know, whatever they do, there's nothing I can do about it. I work for the company. You know, I know one day they're going to ask me to do something like that too. So my thing was, hey, I came in to go to work. I came in to do whatever I'm supposed to do, and I just appreciate Vince giving me the opportunity. So whatever I got to do, you know, I'll get out here and do it. It was like the thing I did with Drew McIntyre. You know, I thought about that, you know, because they had a storyline where I had to get down on my knees, you know, and crawl around, you know, and like beg, you know, looking up at him and stuff, you know. That was a little bit uncomfortable, but then I thought about this. I said, I'll make this work even better. I got to get on my knees and crawl. Okay, let me add some of this to it. So, and I remember one time me and him was in the ring, and he was just belittling me. I didn't think it was enough. So I kind of looked up at him, and I told him, I said, hit me with my grandkids. Hit me with that. And then when he hit me with that, you know, that really touched the nerve because I really take that serious. I love my grandkids, you know, so I kind of took that like it was for real. So that's what makes things work. You got to make it just like it really does happen because that do happen in real life.
So, Teddy, what are your thoughts on the radicals coming from WCW over to the WWE back in 2000?
Well, you know, a lot of guys came in, you know, with a lot of, you know, like you said, with a lot of attitude, and they wanted to, you know, still run things the old way, you know. Back when I first went there, well, I went there before all of them came. I started working there before everybody came, and then, you know, and I was refereeing. So when I got there, then there was guys like John Laurinaitis come in, Dean Malenko came in, Arn Anderson and those guys. So I had, you know, a little bit of problem with Dean Malenko for some reason. I don't know why, you know, he had this problem with me. But anyway, I think it was because I was good friends with Kevin Sullivan. And Kevin Sullivan used to rip Dean all the time. Kevin would do stuff like he would call his room, wake him up, and tell him, you know, his flight's getting ready to leave. And, it may be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So I think I may have had my little heat with Dean from Kevin Sullivan. So I remember one time when I was refereeing, you know, we was in Hawaii, I believe, and I had this match between Christian and Tajiri. And Tajiri hit Christian. Christian went down. I counted 1, 2. He never did kick out, so I counted 1, 2, 3. So they got all over me, and, you know, and they said I was a terrible referee, that I screwed up matches. And then I had another problem before that problem. I had a problem with Tess. And Tess came to me and told me, I counted Tess out too one time before I did the thing with Kristen. And then after it was all over, Tess came to me, God rest his soul, and told me, he said, well, they told me to lay down. I didn't know they were trying to fire you. So Tess told me that to my face. And then on the Kristen part, when I talked to Kristen after that incident happened in Hawaii, Kristen told me, said, well, man, I couldn't kick out. He said, Tajiri hit me so hard, man. He said he dazed me. But they said that I counted guys out, so they sent me home, and I guess they were trying to get rid of me. They're going to fire me. And Jack Lanza was a great friend of mine, and Jack Lanza spoke up for me, and Jack Lanza went to Vince. And I remember Jack telling me this, and he told Vince, he said, man, that Teddy Long can help us. He said, he's at home doing nothing. He said, these guys are just trying to shaft him. And I remember him telling me that Vince said to him, he says, well, I don't know what to do with him yet. I'm still trying to think of what to do with him. So, and then finally, I think that's what happened when my name came up in the meeting, and then that's when I went back to work as a manager. But I did hear that they were during that time that they were trying to get me to bring me back in to manage, that they brought up Ernest the Cat Miller's name before they brought up mine, and they were trying to really get him in. And I heard that Sergeant Slaughter, Earl Hebner, Michael Hayes, and maybe there was somebody else that brought my name up and mentioned it to Vince and told him that I could talk. And Vince said, well, if that's the case, then let's get him up here, bring him back. And that's when they brought me back, and I went to work that night in Providence, Rhode Island, and I walked out with D'Lo Brown.
Check out youtube.com/Gerrick Report Podcast today. Subscribe to our channel, like our videos, leave your comments. We definitely appreciate your support.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am the infamous Carolina Lee Waters, here to tell you that for all your wrestling news, rumors, and gossip, you need to go to Gerwick.net.
Hey, this is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett, the founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to the Gerwick Report Podcast with Steve Gerwick and Frank Mee.
We hope you're enjoying this edition of the Gerwick Report podcast. Additionally, check out The Rack Show with Lindsay Ward and Sir Rockin, Breaking Raw with Atlee Green and John Shoes as they break down every edition of Monday Night Raw, Pro Wrestling Nation with Sam Medina, and The Raw Deal with Atlee Green and my main man, my tag team partner, Frank D. All available at www.gerwick.net.
You can now listen to the
Gerwick Report Podcast
on the free TuneIn Radio app, featuring over 100,000 real radio stations, over 4 million podcasts streaming live from every continent, offering unprecedented access to listen to anything, anywhere. TuneIn lets you listen to over 100,000 real radio stations and more than 4 million podcasts from every continent, 200,000 mobile downloads per day, available on iPhone, iPad, Android tablets, Windows 8, BlackBerry, Amazon Kindle. Available in over 200 branded products with millions of devices sold worldwide, including Samsung Smart TV, Roku, Sonos, Sony PlayStation, Amazon Echo, Panasonic Vieira TV, Logitech Squeezebox. TuneIn brings streaming radio to cars, including GM, Ford, BMW, Tesla, Mercedes-Benz, Volvo, Nissan, Fiat, and more.
Hey, this is Frank D. of Gerwick.net. If you like what you're listening to right now and want to make a financial contribution to our show, check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick today. That's the official merchandise store of Gerwick.net. We have 8 great designs, $19.99 plus shipping and handling. We'll get you one of our great shirts. We have the Raw Deal Podcast t-shirt, Gerwick.net t-shirts, and Gerwick Report Podcast t-shirts. Once again, $19.99 plus shipping and handling. They ship domestically, they ship internationally, they accept PayPal, credit, and debit, so they got you covered there. Check out ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick today. We appreciate your support.
Let me ask you this question, too. You mentioned Ernest the Cat Miller. Why do you feel that he necessarily didn't work out in the WWE? I mean, here was a guy who was in WCW, and I would say he was really, you know, entertaining on the microphone, but then when he came over to WWE, the whole transition, in my opinion, didn't work. I mean, why do you think that happened?
Well, I don't really know, you know, what happened. I think maybe Vince wasn't maybe not happy with him. I don't know really what happened there, but I remember when he did come over. But they were trying to get him in, you know, because he was in, you know, he was in the clique. He was in with Laurinaitis and a bunch of the guys. He was Eric Bischoff's guy, too. So, you know, I like I said, I don't know what happened. All I know, he was there for a little bit, and then next thing I know, you know, they didn't use him. So I couldn't tell you what happened.
Did you know Lord James Blears?
I heard of the name. I don't think I knew him at all.
Okay, I was just thinking back to he just passed away in his early 90s, and I remember when I was thinking about the old 605 shows, you know, back in the day, I'd watch a lot of the AWA shows as well. And
yeah,
at the time,
Beers. I remember that name, but I never did meet him. I never did know him.
Yeah, he was at that time. He was an old man then. He was a commentator, and I, you know, watched with, you know, the early Curt Hennig years and Scott Hall, and I remember, you know, Lord James Blears. Here we are in Las Vegas, and here's Lord James Blears and Larry Nelson, who I believe also passed away. And you know, sad times, kind of thinking back to those old AWA shows. Although I've got great memories, those were some really good shows. Larry Zbyszko, Nick Bockwinkel, the Road Warriors.
Yeah,
back
and I was real good friends with Larry Zbyszko too. I still talk to him every once in a while. He's a super nice guy too. And I learned a lot from him too, because back in NWA days, I worked with him in the ring a lot, and he was one of the guys that didn't want anybody to referee his matches but me, because I was the only guy that put his stuff over. He told me that.
Yeah, Larry Zbyszko should be a coach or something. Just the promos and the stalling
in
the ring.
He's involved in, he's down to NXT, so I think he is doing some of that. I think he's doing some of the in-ring stuff, training the guys and stuff like that. But he is, you know, a part of that. He is doing some of that right now.
And I believe his son's getting into wrestling as well, Tim Zbyszko. So.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I hadn't heard. I know. I'm three of his sons. I don't know about this one. I know Big Mike. He had one son that I met. That was the oldest kid. So I don't know which one. Maybe the other one. That one. One of them we used to call John. It was Ramblin' Bob. We called him that when he was a little baby. So maybe the other one kid is probably getting in.
Did you come across run into Hayabusa? Did you know him?
No, I didn't know him.
Okay. Thoughts on him, Frank? You know, that was a name that when it popped up has passed away. I'm not sure a lot of wrestling fans knew who he was. I mean, he was obviously very over in Japan, but he had some stints here in the United States. I thought that was kind of a surprising passing.
Yeah, I mean, it really sucks because he died so young. And I guess he died from a brain bleed or a brain aneurysm. And it was terrible. As a matter of fact, if you go over right now to youtube.com/Gurick Report Podcast, my co-host of the Raw Deal Podcast, Atlee Green, had some in-depth words to say about Hayabusa's career, King of the Death Matches, you know, FMW in Japan and all that. So I would advise everybody out there who was a fan of Hayabusa to take a listen to that over at youtube.com/Gurick Report Podcast.
You know, speaking of brain injuries, I believe I read where Kevin Nash is going to donate his brain after he passes away to be studied. And I think that's a trend, Teddy. I think we're seeing a lot of not only wrestlers, but football players that came in contact, smashing their heads into helmets or hitting the ground real hard, that we really have to take these concussion things seriously now. And I guess it's good that somebody like Kevin Nash, a high-profile guy, will donate his brain so that we can do further research in this area.
Well, yeah, that's very good. I mean, because, you know, doctors now, they need to kind of know, you know, what they need to do. Because a lot of times with the concussions, you know, you can get hit and then come around, you know, maybe hours later, and then, you know, maybe think you're okay. And you're not. It's like I said at the beginning, you know, is you can't tell what's going on in the inside. The only thing we can deal with is what happens on the outside. But I think that's a great thing for Kevin to do. And, you know, and like I said, if I was a wrestler and took bumps and stuff like these guys have did and been hit in the head and stuff, I would want to do that too. So I would say this, you know, I would encourage any other guys that have really, you know, been hit and beat up like that, I would encourage them to do the same thing. I'll mention this, Christopher Nowinski, I'm sure you guys know him, you know, he's a big advocate of this, you know, he's really involved in it too. And what a nice guy he is. And, you know, I had the opportunity of managing him at one time, you know, he was a tag team partner with Rodney Mack.
Yeah, Chris Harvard at the time, right?
Yes, yes.
Yep.
And, so I had a chance to manage him, so he tried this sport for a little bit.
You know, he was one of those guys I thought was going to be a big star. He had the look, he had the mannerisms.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he was really going to make it. I was surprised he really didn't. It's sad, because I thought that was a guy that was going to be a future star in that business, and just didn't work out.
Speaking of, Christopher Nowinski, you know, Teddy, you were there around the time when they were doing the first season of Tough Enough. And Maven Huffman actually ended up winning that one.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on Maven and why Maven didn't work?
I had a chance to work with him. You know, great guy, real nice guy too. No, I don't know why. I think, you know, he moved out to L.A., and I think he got himself involved in some acting and stuff, and so I think that might have took away from, you know, what he was doing for us, you know, with Vince. But I really don't know what happened, but, you know, I thought he was going to be a real big star, too, because he looked good, and his wrestling, you know, career was coming along good. So, like I said, I don't know what happened to Maven.
Any thoughts on the late Mike Graham?
I had a chance to work with him back in the day, man. You know, he was, you know, pretty nice guy. I didn't have, you know, too much dealing with him. But when he was in WCW, he was like one of the agents. And so I had to go to him different times, you know, with different matches and stuff that he had that my guys were involved in. But Mike Graham, you know, nice guy.
And while we're name dropping, how about, I just saw something where Carlito did an interview. He talked about possibly coming back to WWE. What would you think about Carlito returning? And why, you know, Carlito was there for a while and he won some of the secondary championships, but never on the world championship stage, never a main eventer. Why do you think overall that Carlito never quite got it? Because I always heard the reputation that he never worked hard, he never put the extra effort into it. And did you see that from your perspective?
No, I didn't. I saw him working hard. I mean, you know, I was involved in an angle with him when he came in. Me and him did the thing where he had the petition to get rid of me, and Linda McMahon came out and reinstated me, if you can remember that angle. But I had a great time working with him. He didn't seem to be a problem, but, you know, from rumors, I don't know this, I'm just saying with rumors, I don't think he got along with Hunter. Okay, I think he had a problem there or something. So then, I guess sometimes you don't get along with the boss, that's not a good thing. But that's the way I got it, that he just didn't get along with Hunter. But I saw him, you know, wasn't no problem. I feel like this, if the guy didn't work hard or he was a bad worker, they wouldn't be talking about bringing him back.
What do you think, Frank? Carlito coming back to WWE, you think that would work?
You know, obviously, Steve, with all the talent that they have right now and all the talents they have in NXT, I don't really see where Carlito can fit into the equation. I mean, it's kind of like we've been there, done that before, so why do it now?
Fitting in the face of people that aren't cool is pretty cool.
It was cool. it was cool. Honestly, it was cool for that time.
Yeah, for that era. I agree.
We're in a time, it's a different time now than it was back then, and I don't really think it's, in the WWE's land, it's too PC to be spitting apple in someone's face, because somebody out there who's an apple protester might not like that.
Yeah, well, there you go. You know, you're going to always find some people to find something wrong with something, so you're right, Frank, you got to be careful.
Well, if somebody will say, well, you know, I was offended by that. He used a green apple instead of a red one.
Right.
Some dumb shit like that.
He's biased.
And then he's sitting out food. They could be giving that food to some. Look at all the people that are hungry.
Exactly.
You know, they'll find something, believe me.
Yeah, what kind of apples did he use? Was it Macintosh or Granny Smith? What kind of apples did they use back in the day?
Yeah.
Yellow Delicious. I mean, there's all kinds of really good apples.
If you say that, you can say the same thing about, you know, what company did Piper get that coconut from when he smashed it into Jimmy Snuka's head? You know, you can do the same thing with that, too, because people would say the same shit.
Right.
You know, the discrimination of fruit.
Was that a Dole pineapple, or what was it back in the day?
Exactly.
You're exactly right. I'm telling you.
Yeah, somebody back from that era, I don't know if you've been following it, but the Jimmy Snuka situation with this trial that's going on, it was 30 years after the alleged murder of his girlfriend at the time. And, you know, I had heard over the years that a lot of people thought that he did it, that things were covered up, and that he got to walk scot-free. I just wondered if you had any opinion on the Jimmy Snuka situation.
I don't really know anything about what happened back then. I have no knowledge of none of that, you know, but like I said, it's been a long time. And I had a chance to meet Jimmy, too. You know, he's, you know, very nice guy. So it's really no, you know, comment I can make on it, because I don't have any idea of what, you know, what really went on. I mean, I just heard about it. Me and Tony Atlas talked sometime, and Tony was back there in the day, and he mentioned something, you know, about that one time, and that was about it.
Is Tony still playing with feet?
Yes, he is.
Well,
I mean, Tony doesn't hide that. I mean, boy, I'll tell you, did I ever tell you a story about me and him? In Bridgeport, Connecticut, we was going in. Me and him, when he was working there, me and him rode together all the time, because I'm a gym rat, and he is too. That's one thing about Tony, he's going to the gym. So he was real loyal about that. Every morning we'd get up. So we was going to the gym in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And so the gym was located right next door to this rehabilitation place. So as we and him are walking in the gym, there's this lady in front of us. This lady has to be about 80 years old. So she's walking with a walker. So I see Tony's looking at her. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you watching this lady? I said, she's 80 years old. She's on a walker. What's wrong with you? He said, well, I don't want to have sex with her. I just wanted to walk on me. Here's a lady that can't even stand up on her own, and he wants her to walk on him.
Oh, my gosh.
He was too much, brother. And he was so good with that beat stuff that he could walk up to a woman and he could tell her what size her shoe was. All he had to do was look at her feet, and he could tell her what size her shoe. That's how good he was.
I guess he didn't care about smelly feet or fungus or any of that stuff.
No. And he told me the story about that. Right? When he was a kid, you know, something happened with some feet or something about when he was a little bit of baby or a kid. But he growed up with that some kind of way. But he did tell me the story. I just don't remember all of it. But, you know, did you ever see the video where this woman, this dominatrix, was kicking him in the head and beating him all up? Did you ever see that?
No, I don't think so. Did you ever see it, Frank?
Oh, boy, he's got a video out with this woman like a dominatrix, and she's got these big steel boots on, and she's kicking him in his head and stuff. He showed the video. He brought it to work one day. It was the most disgusting thing you ever seen in your life. Taker wouldn't even look at it. And then I thought about him. How can he take this punishment to his head? This woman is kicking him in his head with these big steel clawed boots. And he was, you know, he was just enjoying every minute of it. But there's a video out on him with the woman. He wanted to give that video to Vince. He wanted Vince to see that. And here was his story. He wanted Vince to do an angle with him and Natalya. He wanted Natalya to walk on him. It never got to Vince. This is just some stuff that we knew backstage. And I remember him saying something to Bruce Pritchard about giving the video to Vince. And Bruce Pritchard told him, man, don't do that. Vince would lose all respect for you. What is wrong with you? You can't give Vince nothing like that. So, but he was dead serious about it, man.
That might have worked in the Attitude Era, foot fetish.
I don't know. I don't know what it. It worked with him because he'd have definitely got it over because he enjoyed it. He loved it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. But Tony's. But you know, after all that, but Tony's still. He's a great guy, man. He's a real nice guy too, man.
Have you ever seen the Total Divas show?
I looked at bits and pieces. I haven't had a chance to sit down and really watch a whole episode.
I was going to say, Alan, what you thought of it, and just thought of it in general of breaking off and featuring the Divas on kind of a reality show.
Well, I think that works for the people that, you know, really want to see that enjoy that. You know, I think it works for them. I like some of the reality shows, you know, and not taking nothing away from the Total Divas, but I look at stuff like Love and Hip Hop. I enjoy that kind of thing. But like I said, I haven't watched any of it, you know, not a whole show. I've seen bits and pieces of it. Before I left, they had started filming some of that. So they used to do a lot of it, you know, at some of the arenas that we're in. So I had a chance to see a lot of it there. So, you know, I thought it was good, you know, and I hope it, you know, I wish it much success. I hope it makes it.
Yeah, Frank D is a big fan of Total Divas.
Frank D is not a big fan of Total Divas.
Yeah.
That you talk about a bullshit waste of time. There you go, right there. That show. But you know what? I tell you what. Total Divas is way better than the Diva Search.
Yeah, you're right about that now.
What do you think of Rhino getting into politics? I don't know if you heard, Rhino is going to run for a state representative in my state of Michigan. Actually, he's not too far from me. He's going to run as a state representative. What do you think of Rhino getting into politics?
I'm begging Rhino to stay in his own lane. That's all I got to say about that. I'm begging him, please, Rhino, just stay in your lane, okay? Stay in your own lane. Leave that alone.
Interesting.
Because, you know, when you're running for politics, they're going to come at you with everything they got. And so, they, you know, they don't need to be digging into Rhino's past, believe me.
You know, speaking of politics and, you know, libertarian, going back to Val Venus, Jesse Ventura is now talking that he might jump in the race at some point.
Well, I like Jesse. One thing about Jesse, he calls it like it is. He don't pull no punches, brother. He tells you just like it is, and the majority of it is true. Yeah, I like Jesse. I hope he does.
Would you vote for him?
Yes, I would.
Okay. What do you think, Frank? Jesse Ventura in politics?
He's already done it before in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, he was governor. So, I mean, could he pull it off now? I don't know. I mean, it's a different time now. Jesse's kind of... Yeah, some people probably think Jesse Ventura is insane with some of the stuff that he says. But it's really what you believe, and if you believe what he says, it's kind of how it goes. Like, Donald Trump is a great entertainer when he's out there with his speeches. And people don't get that 99% of the shit that Donald Trump is saying he's not going to do. And he's not going to be able to do.
And
people don't understand that.
You're right, Frank. And some of that TV say he can't do it.
Exactly. So people
right.
don't
but,
get
but
that.
People, like you said, he's a great entertainer out there. He knows how to grab the people.
Exactly. So he's saying what the people want to hear.
Exactly.
Now, when it comes down to if he'll actually get, you know, elected into office, I don't know if that's actually ever going to happen. But he's got, he certainly has the charisma and the charm to pull it off. Now, like I said before, Donald Trump is portraying a character. And people don't understand that. He's portraying, I mean, bottom line of the day is this. If you look at it like this, Donald Trump is a billionaire. What does a billionaire have in common with common folk? Not a damn thing.
Yeah, right. With especially
period.
With the middle class and poor people. They, a
exactly.
man's never been poor before,
what,
so he never will understand that.
Exactly. What does he have in common with you?
Right. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
It's a rigged system. I mean, the guys who could be really good presidents can't raise the money, don't have the money to get into the race. They don't have the notoriety. They have no chance. No chance.
And the sad part about it is the establishment, they don't want them kind of guys in there.
Exactly. Yep. They go after them and they demonize them and it gets very dirty.
Right.
You know, speaking of being in character, I don't know if you've been following this, Teddy, the Hogan versus Gawker case.
I saw a little bit on TV the other night where Hogan was on the stand there a little bit. No, I haven't been following it.
Yeah, he they brought up that, you know, his sex life was public, and he said, you know, he went on the Bubba the Love Sponge show, and he was talking about a 10-inch penis that he had, and he said, well, you know, brother, that was just a character. Hulk Hogan has a 10-inch penis, but Terry Bollea does not.
Hulk Hogan is smoking some serious shit.
Oh, God. I've never heard that one before. That's pretty good.
You know, this trial, Frank, is so ridiculous on so many levels. I mean, it's ridiculous that Gawker would go to this level to put out that sex tape video he did with, what, Bubba the Love Sponge wife. And
his
now,
wife, yeah.
Yeah, his wife, and now it's on trial, and they're making a mockery of this trial. It's just so ridiculous. I mean, what a waste of time.
What a waste of time and taxpayers'
yeah.
money.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that's Florida.
Yeah, there you go.
I said that earlier. That's why I said I don't necessarily agree with their laws. I mean, here's a state that let Casey Anthony off. So,
yeah.
There you go.
You've not been following this trial, and I don't blame you. It's so insane. Every time a quote comes up from this, and I guess, you know, the life of Hulk Hogan, all the trials and tribulations, and a lot of it he brings on himself, which is unfortunate
yeah.
for him. You know,
and then, you know, with me, a lot of times reading, I don't pay none of this stuff attention. You know, with me, you know, guys like Hogan, I've known him all my life, you know, so I already know what the deal is. So that's why it doesn't interest me. I keep on moving.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I want to mention one other name here. Great Khali. Obviously, he was on the SmackDown brand. He was another polarizing character. Some people liked him, but on the opposite side, obviously, he was a big guy who could barely move in the ring. And I guess you need that in wrestling, kind of a novelty act. I don't know. What was your overall opinion of Great Khali as a performer?
Well, Great Khali, I had a chance to travel with him, too. And I'll tell you this, how they got involved is like Khali couldn't drive. And so the office always paid for his hotel and for his rental car. But somebody had to drive him. So if you got that job of driving Khali, that you got the free rental car and you got your hotel room paid for as well. So I had a chance to get on that deal with him one time. So I drove Khali around. Khali was just a nice guy as he could be, too. But, you know, I think basically they was wanting to use Khali, you know, because of the look that he had and then a little bit of a movie experience that he had. I think they probably thought that was going to try to take off on him. But as far as him as a performer, he just didn't have a clue. you know, he tried, believe me, God bless him, he tried his best to do everything that he was supposed to do, but the guy just couldn't move. He couldn't get around, you know, he couldn't move. He was just too damn big. But, you know, you see a lot of guys like him with his size. You know, you got Big Show guys that can move around, you know, like that, guys that are big. But Khali just didn't, he just didn't ever get it. I you know, for him as a performer, he didn't do anything for me. I think only thing helped him rise was basically his size.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing he was around as long as he did, really. I mean, he didn't have a lot to offer.
They had signed him to a big deal, so I guess they were probably just trying to get their money's worth out of him.
Yeah. And I also had a question. Did you ever have any trouble with another polarizing character, Scott Steiner?
Oh, yeah, man. I worked with him and Rick back in the day, man. They were great guys, man. No, I never had any problem with him. Scott was always nice. Brother, they were some pranksters. Brother, I seen them take Tommy Rich one time, and they taped him in duct tape. They taped him all the way up in duct tape, and they left just a little bit up under his nose, left a little bit out so he could breathe, and they dared anybody to take that duct tape off of him. And they were just treacherous. They tried to drown Disco Inferno one time, and down at Disney, they hated him. They almost drowned him too. But they would do a lot of stuff, man. But the Steiners were great guys, man. They were good, especially Scott. I like Scott. I'd like to see him. I hadn't seen him in a while. And Rick was really all right. He was a great guy too.
Anything else, sir, Frank?
Yeah, let me ask you this question, Teddy. This is a non-wrestling character. What's your thoughts on comedian Cat Williams?
Well, let me tell you something about Cat Williams. A lot of people don't know this, but I know Cat Williams. I don't know him real good, but I know him. Me and him had the opportunity to meet in Atlanta. I hung out with him for a little bit. Then I had a chance to meet him in L.A. We were doing a show in L.A., and that night we flew back to Atlanta, and he was on the plane. Me and him sat together, so Cat is just lost his mind. You know, he's a real nice guy. At the time that I met Cat, Cat adopted about maybe 5 or 6 kids, you know, that were homeless and, you know, they didn't have any parents. He adopted those kids and he was taking care of them. And that was his thing, you know, to, you know, do, you know, give back and help those little kids that didn't have any parents and stuff. I don't know what happened about that, but he had about 5 or 6 adopted kids that he took care of. So Cat was just nice. I was really surprised to start hearing the stuff that's really going down with him. But, brother, you know, when you start smoking that shit, you know, that's what it does to you. You know, and you know, like I said, I have no proof of that. I ain't seen him doing that. But, you know, come on, Cat. You know, we're not crazy, you know. So, yeah. You know, and I don't understand him. A great comedian, funny-ass guy. I mean, funny as hell. You know what I mean? God damn, I could sit down all day and listen to him. So, you know, I don't understand what he's thinking about, you know, messing his career up like that. He has a great career too, man, you know, and he ain't, you know, he's not an old guy, so he's got some time left. So I just don't know what to say about Cat, man. I really don't. But like I said, once you get to smoking that shit, man, it's bad. It's not good.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's going on with him. I believe he's definitely on something. I mean, all the stories, the other night he was at the Benny Siegel concert, and he, you know, jumped on these dudes and they beat the shit out of him. And then what happened with him yesterday when he beat up his bodyguard, security or whatever, and beat him with a baseball bat. And now he's in jail right now on no bond.
Well, he's got a bond. You know, he lives in Atlanta. He lives in Atlanta. So he's in, the judge just gave him like a $50,000 or $60,000 bond. So he does have a bond now. So I don't know what he's been released, what he's got out yet, but he does have a bond now.
Okay, cool, because when the story came out, he didn't have one yet, so...
Yeah, well,
cool.
He was on this morning. I saw they had a clip of him this morning on the local news where he was going before the judge, and his lawyer did get him $50,000 or $60,000 bond.
You know, he's going the same route, unfortunately, the same route that DMX went, you know?
Yeah, so. That is sad for him too, man. You know, guys like that, you know, they got talent, you know. What are they thinking, you know? What is in the back of their head? There has to be... You know, it's got to be a problem somewhere, Frank and Steve. It's some, you know, I mean, you got to know what you're doing. And I mean, this has to be, you know, and the sad part about it is you got all these people around you that are nothing but leeches. All they're there is for to stay high and get the money. Nobody's there to tell you, Cat, you're doing the wrong thing. You're blowing it, man. You're going to screw up your life. And nobody's there to tell this guy that. And that's what they do. And people that come in to want to try to help you, those are the people they jump on and beat up and get rid of them, because they know if they smarten Cat up, then they're going to cut the meal ticket off. So it's just sad that people around you won't even help you because they're in the same condition too. They all need help. So, you know, I just hope Cat, you know, come to his senses. I hope somebody gets to him and talk to him and get him to straighten his life out and get away from around all that negativity.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Well, Teddy, as we wrap with you, I know teddylong.com is the official website. You're on Twitter. And I see you're very active on Twitter. You're interacting with the fans. And why don't you encourage, you know, the Teddy Long fans out there to follow you on Twitter. And as I said, anybody that follows Teddy or is on social media, let them know as well that you heard him on the Gerwick Report podcast. We definitely would appreciate that. So as we close with you, Teddy, put yourself over. And what other dates do you have coming up?
Well, thank you very much. Once again, you could, like you said, follow me at teddylong.com. And on my Twitter, I'm at teddyplayerlong. So, like you said, I interact in, you know, with the fans. I enjoy, you know, talking to you and letting you know that it's the real me. It's not somebody out there that's fake. I've got some dates coming up on March the 19th. I'm going to be in Ashburn, Georgia, and I'll be over there with Luke Gallus and the Bullet Club guys for a big wrestling show. And on March the 24th, I'm going to be down in Miami, Florida, doing a big deal for Fighting Evolution Wrestling. It's going to be a big spring break show. I'll be there with Too Cold Scorpio, WWE Hall of Famer Ron Simmons. The Boogeyman will be on that show also. And on the 25th, I'm going to be in Florida, St. Port Lucie, Florida, for the Fort St. Lucie National Guard Armory for Ignite Wrestling. Going to be a big show there along with Santana Garrett and a lot of other stars. So right now that's kind of what's going on. I got some stuff for April that's coming up too, but I haven't confirmed the dates, but they will be confirmed, and you can go to the website and find out all of that, where I'm going to be then, and also I'll be putting all that out on my Twitter, guys.
Yeah, I like that Santana Garrett. I'd like to see her get...
Yeah, she's going to be on this big show with us down on the 25th.
Cool.
And also Rodriguez is going to be there. Alberto De Rio's former manager, he'll be on that show.
Very good. So definitely check out teddylong.com for all your updates on Teddy Long, and definitely follow his social media. And as always, my friend, always a pleasure talking to you.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you guys, Frank. You know, I love you, player, and I want to encourage all the players before I leave today to get your Gerwick Podcast T-shirt. You can see me sporting one, looking good all day, every day, and you can look just like that by getting your own T-shirt.
Holla, holla.
At a player.
Because you see, with a little advice from Theodore R. Long, I can take us all to the top, where we need to be. You know what I'm saying, player? To the land of the dollar bill. Now you better believe that, and then we'll all be mellow, just like a jello.